We're talking about a topic that I think is one that I don't know how many times you've heard this topic very often. You know, this is what we believe, but how often do we actually go over it? I know for some of you, this could be new, but for most of you, this is a review, which is okay. It's good to review. Why do we believe what we believe? Also, I run into a lot of Adventists that don't know how to explain what they believe. And I ask questions, and I find out they're not even sure what they believe. So if you don't know what you believe, it makes it more difficult to explain it. And so this is why it's good. So we're talking about, take a guess, about death. What happens with death? And death is a, I guess this is not a Christmas topic. But you know, it actually is in the long run. Because it's an important topic to think about, because it's not that death is a good topic, it's what happens after death that's important. And hopefully for most of us, what happens when we don't die, you know, the Bible talks about being changed. I'd like to have to do the change part rather than the resurrection part. But I'm willing to go either way, whatever God has in store for me. I'm happy enough with just getting there. And so, where do we go when we die? Where do we go? Now, you ask most people, and they say, well, I don't know. Who cares? Does anybody care? Everybody cares, especially when they're on hospice or something. Then they start caring. You know, when the young people, they say, it's okay, I got 60 or 80 years to go, I'm fine. But most of the time, when you talk with people, they say, well, everybody's going to heaven. I haven't heard many say everybody's going to hell, but sometimes I've had people think that. So do you go to heaven? Do you go to hell? Is purgatory a place to go? How many even know what purgatory is? You know what purgatory is? It's a teaching from the Catholic Church, and actually I think there's some other churches that actually believe this too, but purgatory is not really hell, but it's kind of hell-like, and it's to clean up the saints. The good people go to hell to get kind of scrubbed and washed and, you know, I'm trying to think of the right way to put it, but you know, you get all the dross burned off, and then you get to go to heaven. And so it's a little different than heaven or hell, but a lot of people believe that. Now, if you can't see, you can always kind of, I'll be reading most of it, so even if you can't see, I'll read it for you. Books on near-death experiences have catapulted into the bestseller status. Has anybody ever talked to you about near-death experiences? I have people all the time. Pastor, I was in the hospital, and they pronounced me dead, and I was dead for a half an hour, and I went down this long, bright tube. And at the end of the tube, I saw this bright being. And then I came back, and then I was back in my body. Or I have people say that while I was laying there on the, you know, getting operated on, and they pronounced me dead or whatever it was, I was hovering above myself, watching the whole thing. I can even tell you who was there, what they were doing. I know exactly everything. And when they come to, you ask around, and they say, yep, that was the person there, yep. And they had it straight. So what gives? How can this be? This is the question that we're going to answer. We're going to answer. Now, there's a lot of people who believe in reincarnation. Who believes in reincarnation? Do you know? It's Eastern religion. Eastern religion. Actually, it's not only an Eastern religion, but even New Age people believe in reincarnation. Now, Eastern religion, most of them, well, some of them believe you come back as a cow. That's a good omen. Some come back as a monkey. It's even better. If you come back as a person, I guess that's like ideal. You just don't want to come back as a mosquito. Now, I'm joking a little bit, but the bottom line is reincarnation real? And if you've been a bad boy, you might get the mosquito treatment. I don't know. But Is that the kind of thing that happens after we die? Now, you're going to find a ton of people that believe in reincarnation. My sister has a number of people that go to her temple. She's Jewish. They're modern Jews, if you want to say it that way. They're liberal, a liberal synagogue. And many of them believe in reincarnation. And they're dead serious. And you think, how could they believe this stuff? But people believe this kind of stuff all the time. So this is a pretty popular belief these days, actually. Okay? So is death the end? Is that the end of it? When you die, is that history? Now, I know many people who believe. As a matter of fact, Orthodox Jews tend to believe this. There's some that don't. But they believe that when you die, it's all over. You're done. There's nothing after that. That would be a pretty dismal belief, wouldn't it? Who would want to have that kind of belief? It doesn't sound like a joyful religion. Let me move out of the way so at least some can see. The key is simple. The Bible and the Bible alone is the source for all our beliefs. That's why we are Seventh-day Adventists. Why would you want to come to a church that's not as popular, that goes to church on a weird day, unless it was because you believe what the Bible said and you read it for yourself? And that's what the Bible says. Now, some people have a hard time reading the Bible because they say, well, how do you know if that's what it really means? But see, the Bible is written in very simply. What you do is you take the scriptures, you open the book, and I've said this before, but if it says Jesus went to Bethlehem, what does that mean? Jesus went to Bethlehem. If it says that Lazarus was dead for 4 days, what does that mean? He was dead for 4 days. See, the Bible's really not that difficult to understand if you just take it as it reads. But most people, they go to the Bible rather than trying to find out what the Bible says. They're trying to find something that they believe in the Bible. I believe in reincarnation. And so I go into the Bible searching for a text that sounds like reincarnation. And then I find it. I can say the Bible teaches reincarnation. I know somebody who told me that. Close relative. But if we believe in the Bible as the foundation of our faith, which we do, then we want to follow what it says. Even if it says something I don't like. Would you follow the Bible if it said something you don't like? And so really, the whole point of being here is following the scriptures. We base our beliefs on the scriptures. The scriptures are simple. The scriptures are for the simple. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so if you just read it and follow what it says, you don't have to be a scholar. You just have to read it. A little homework wouldn't hurt on some texts, but most texts are so simple. Jesus died. Jesus gave us salvation. We're saved by grace. If you want to know what grace is, you look up grace in a couple different places and you know what grace is. Okay? So really understanding the Bible is not that difficult, but the key is that we want to be like Luther. And we don't see this very much anymore. Where we say, I'm willing to die in order to follow everything the Bible says. I want to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, even if it means I have to give my life to do that. We don't hear that much anymore. I wish we were all like the reformers, dedicated to following what the scriptures teach. So this is really the key to all of this. So the question is, that comes up most of the time when I talk with people, is the soul immortal? Does the soul of the wicked and the just live naturally forever? Do you go on and on and on, forever and ever? Okay, now I guess if you have reincarnation, it's kind of like that. You just transfer to a different exterior. And so some of these are really involved in many religions in the world. The immortality of the soul, we just don't realize it. But let's see what the Bible has to say. What does it say? These are all texts you're familiar with, but we should review them. Okay? The soul that sins, talking about the soul, what happens to that soul? It will die. So can a soul die according to the scriptures? Absolutely. Okay, let's take a look at another one. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Okay? Wages of sin is not eternal life, because if the soul went on forever, that would be eternal life for the just and for the wicked, wouldn't it? Now, the other question is, if we don't have natural immortality, is there somebody that does? Jesus, who alone has immortality. This is what the Bible teaches. Jesus is the only one that has immortality. As a matter of fact, when he came to this world, he says, I lay my life down and I take it up myself again. Because he was who? He was God. He could do that. So Jesus has immortality. God has immortality. Nobody else has immortality. Do angels have immortality? Do any of the beasts in Revelation have immortality? You know, the ones in heaven? Do people have immortality? According to the scriptures, no. There's only one that has immortality. So, this is the good news. Jesus has immortality. We don't. And 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, and this is one this is a review for many of you. Some of you, it's not a review. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you know what a twinkling of an eye is? That's not when somebody winks at you. That's when the light flashes on your eye. It's quicker than a snap of the finger. And so this is what the Bible promises is going to happen. In the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, for that trumpet will sound, won't be quiet, that trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ, or the dead, will be what? They'll be raised. Now, wait a minute. I thought they were coming down from heaven. Well, this seems to say they're raised, so that must mean they're coming up. And this is talking about the good folk, so they're definitely not coming up from hell. See, all these ideas, when you read the scriptures, they don't fit. Heaven, hell, purgatory, none of them fit into what the scriptures teach. That's because the scriptures don't teach those concepts. It says the dead will be raised. This is the good part. How will they be raised? Incorruptible. So if you have a relative or somebody that you love that has passed away, when Jesus comes, they're going to be raised incorruptible. And we should be changed. We get the same treatment. But we don't have to go through the death process. In the twinkling of an eye, we are changed. How many are looking forward to that change? Anybody? You don't want to keep the old body? Are you sure? Just in case? It continues on. It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. This is when we get immortality. When do we get immortality? When Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes. Now, what we have now is we have hope. The great hope is that one day we will get immortality. We have eternal life. It starts now. But it starts now because we have a hope in eternal life, not only spiritual eternal life, but physical eternal life. And this is talking about the physical eternal life that we get. We get brand new bodies. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, the Old Testament writers used the phrase sleep all the time. They rested. They slept with their fathers. This is an expression for death. As a matter of fact, I put a few up here just so you can see this in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 2:10, so David slept with his fathers. Now, were they all sleeping together? I mean, is it like a, I shouldn't say it that way, but are they all sleeping? Are they all in the grave there just snoring away? Can you hear them snoring when you go out to the graveyard? So why do they use the word sleep? Because God was trying to find a word that was the closest to what death was like. Okay, now if when we went to heaven, it was like a great party, he wouldn't use the word sleep. He would say, David was partying with his fathers. He was having a great time. Or if we went to hell, I hope nobody went to hell there, but if David went to hell, he would be screaming with his fathers. But it doesn't say that. It says he's what? He slept with his fathers. The reason God uses that metaphor is because that's the closest metaphor that he can have to what death is like, asleep. When you see somebody sleeping, they're not moving. When they wake up, they say, is it already morning? Unless they had a really vivid dream. So 1 Kings, 11:43, Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And if you look at all the different kings, they're all sleeping. They all slept with their fathers. And that's how the Bible words it. So the Bible declares 53 times that death is asleep. Okay, now the Bible does talk about other people sleeping. It uses the word sleep for real sleep. But 53 times out of that, it uses the word sleep for death. And you'll find this in many different places. As a matter of fact, Matthew 27, 52, and 53, it says the graves were open. You know when this happened? Gives you a hint in the text. The graves were open. Many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep. Notice what happened. They had fallen asleep. They were raised. They didn't come down from above. They came up. And coming out of their graves after his resurrection, this is when it happened, after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now that would have really, how do I say that? Startled me if I had people I knew come and talk with me. Okay? But that's what happened here. They went into the city and appeared to many. But the key to this text is that they had fallen asleep and they were risen. See, so you look at the exact words, just take it as it reads. That's what happened. The dead were risen. They didn't come down from heaven. Okay? Continues on, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead. When Jesus rose, he came up just like everybody else will, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Same language, the sleep language for death. He's the first fruits. He comes up, and because he was resurrected, we can be resurrected. Okay, it continues on. For as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ we shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ's when? At his coming. Not when we die, which is taught quite often, that the minute we die, then we're taken to be with Jesus. This says we will be resurrected. Or we will be risen like Christ afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. The second coming is when all this happens. And this is what the Bible teaches. This is why I'm in this church. I could find other churches that are much bigger, much more popular, but I'm here because I read the scriptures and I said, I didn't like it at first, actually, because I wasn't an Adventist, but I read the scriptures and I said, well, that's what it says. If I'm going to follow the scriptures, I've got to be one of those weird Adventists. And now we'll see what happened. Now I'm a pastor. Just gets weirder as it goes, right? It's actually a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to find what the scriptures teach, to follow them, and then to be able to teach others. John 11:11, this is one you've read many times. For our friend Lazarus sleepeth, okay, or sleeps, that's the modern English. But I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Now this is Jesus talking. What kind of sleep is he talking about? The sleep of death. And disciples, they're talking about some other kind of sleep. Lord, if he's sleeping, he will do well. Just let him rest. Maybe he's had a difficult week and he needs a long nap. See, so they're talking about the other kind of sleep. And Jesus says, no, no, no. Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. So Jesus had to say this plainly. Lazarus is dead. Okay? So when I'm saying asleep, I mean really asleep. Totally. Lazarus is dead. This is what the Bible teaches. Now, Martha has some interesting comments on this whole thing because Jesus spent a couple days before he came to resurrect Lazarus. And so when he got there, Martha says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. And she continued on. And, well, Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. And what's her comment? This is an interesting part of it. She says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection when? At the last day. So Jesus has instructed her well. He didn't argue and say, no, you're wrong. He said, but there's going to be a special resurrection today for your brother. But the general resurrection, you're right. The saints, there'll be a resurrection at the last day. And eventually, Lazarus will be raised in that resurrection, won't he? The other question is there consciousness in death? I meet people all the time who talk to their relatives. When we were kids, we used to have seances. And everybody would say, as a kid, oh, this is fun, nothing's going to happen, we're just playing. Until something does happen, and then you go, whoa. Then you become a believer in what? You got it. Because the devil, most people don't believe the devil even exists. And then when he manifests himself, that's a dangerous thing. You're treading on dangerous ground there. Is there any consciousness in death? What does the Bible say? You've heard these texts over and over. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know what you're doing during the day. The dead know what's happening, they're watching you while you sleep. Is that what it says? The dead, how much do they know? They don't know what you're doing. They have no idea what you're doing, okay? The dead know nothing, continues on in the same text. Their love, their hate, their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. Now, I know it's a little cloudy today, but this is referring to what's happening on the earth, okay? They have no part in that. And if you go to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, whatsoever you do, do well, for in death, where you are going, this sounds a little morbid, doesn't it? You're all going to die here, but is that true? Unless Jesus comes, we are all going to die. There is no working, nor planning, or knowing, or understanding. When you're dead, you're dead. You don't know what's going on. You're completely out of it. I have people who really have a hard time with this. They say, Pastor, I thought Granny was in heaven, and now you're telling me she's in the dirt? And, it's like, I can't imagine Granny down there in the dirt with worms crawling through her skull. They can't get this picture that the person who is dead doesn't know what's going on. They're imagining them still really alive in the dirt now instead of in heaven, which is, maybe that's even worse. But if you can help people understand, because they've been so taught, which is not biblical, they've been taught the unbiblical idea that you are never really dead when you die. But it's hard to get people to think, the second you close your eyes, you don't know anything until you open them in the resurrection, either the first or the second. And how much time does it feel like between your death and the first or second resurrection? How much time does that feel like? You're closing and you're opening them the second it's like no time at all. Now we sit around and we have funerals, and we feel bad for months on end, and they don't know what's happening. It's not even a split second for them. It's less than that. And so, some people argue, they came to me and they argue, well, Pastor, the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I say, that's true. The second you're done with the body, you're present with the Lord, as far as you're concerned. For those who are still alive, it's a little different. The Bible here says, Psalms 115, 17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. So how many are up in heaven praising the Lord? Of the dead, that is. Now remember, there was a resurrection during Jesus' day, so there's just a few people up there. How about Enoch? Is he up there? Okay, so he's praising the Lord, but then he's not dead. Moses was resurrected. Elijah. There's a number of people up there. But this is talking about those who have died and have not been resurrected. It says the dead do not praise the Lord. Why? Because they're down where? In a place of silence. That's what death is all about. The Bible describes this. This is David. You know, so there's a lot of information in the Bible that makes this perfectly clear. I could go through 100 texts, but you guys would all be sleeping. I don't need to go through 100 texts, but I'm giving you some of these texts because it's important to understand that we base what we believe on the Bible. And it's important to base what you believe on the Bible. So there's no consciousness between death and the resurrection. Not at all. Nothing. So let's look at the soul. We'll go through this quickly. What is the Bible meaning of the word soul? Okay, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So what do you have? You have dust and you have breath. Now, how many feel like dust? I guess as you get older, you feel a little more dusty. You got dust and breath, and then what happens? Then there's life. It's pretty simple. Dust, breath equals a soul, equals life. Now, it's interesting. If you look at this, you know, the electric bulb. Now, what's with this electric bulb here? I don't see any light on that one. What does that mean? It's dead. That's right. It's asleep. So that one, the bulb is there, but what's it missing? Tain't no power. So where did the power go? Is the power in the sub panel over there? Are you sure? You mean the power didn't go back to the sub panel? It just stopped? Just ceased to exist? The real power is back at the hydro plant where the generator's turning. You follow what I'm saying? So when somebody dies, it's real simple. When somebody dies, their soul doesn't go back to God. The power of life goes back to God, and he divvies it out to whoever he wills. See? It's pretty simple. So death is creation in reverse. Isn't that true? You got dust, breath, you're living. When the breath disappears, isn't there something they say at a funeral? Dust to dust. That one's biblical. We turn back into dust. You look in the mirror and I say, boy, there's some pretty nasty looking dirt there. We know we're dust as we get older. We start looking more like the dust. Psalms 146, 3 and 4. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man. Now, this isn't talking about Jesus, the Son of Man. This is talking about us, people, in whom there's no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, turns into dust, and that very day what happens? His thoughts are kaput. You guys know what kaput means? You know what language that is? His thoughts are gone, they perish. Okay? Now, spiritualism teaches that the soul is immortal. Okay? Spiritualism, New Age, this is really nothing new. This is all old. But everybody, you start looking around and there's very few people that believe when you die, you are asleep. The majority of the Christendom, the majority of religions all around the world, the majority of New Agers, the majority of people who don't believe in anything, they think when you die, you're really not just gone. Something's got to happen. But spiritualism teaches that the soul is immortal. As a matter of fact, you find this in religions all over the world. Ancestor worship is based on the false doctrine of the immortality of the soul. Ancient Egyptians believed, what did they build? What are they famous for? Pyramids. What was in the pyramid? Be ready for the next life. Just imagine if you were one of the servants of the Pharaoh. You get to die with him. How exciting. He gets all his stuff into the pyramids, and all his servants, and they close the door. And I'm glad we don't believe that. But the ancient Egyptians believed in the pagan doctrine of the immortality of the soul. The temple of Marduk in ancient Babylon was built for communication with the dead. This is nothing new. This is the same kind of thing that happens down the street in Hermiston. Somebody's having a seance. The ancient Greeks and Romans taught that the soul is immortal. As a matter of fact, Christianity got their idea of the immortality of the soul from the Greek religion. Some of our Christian beliefs are more Greek than biblical. This is what the Bible teaches. It's what history teaches, actually. But in the Bible, the word soul is used over 400 times. It always refers to a person or a life. It says, how many souls died in the sea? You know, how many souls did this? How many souls did that? It's never called an immortal soul. As a matter of fact, the devil talks about dying. What does he say? He says, don't worry about it. None of it, nobody's dying. Everybody's going to go on. Now, you might be a cow, but you're not going to die. He doesn't care what you believe as long as you don't believe what the Bible teaches. So the devil's lie, the devil's lie plus everybody else, because everybody else is on his side quite often, unfortunately. You shall not surely die. Don't worry about it. Now, Satan, he was an angel in heaven. You think he was a slick character? You think he knows what he's doing? So what does he do? Satan disguises himself as what? As an angel of light. So if he knows that you believe the wrong thing about death, what is he going to do to confirm your belief? What is he going to do to confirm that? Okay, he's going to appear as your dead relative. And he's going to come and say, do you remember when we talked? Nobody else was there, just you and I? It's like, yeah, you must really be Uncle Joe. Because nobody else would know that but me and Uncle Joe. And the devil. He can appear as a spirit leaving your body. You know, it's interesting because I get people who talk to me all the time about this whole, you know, right before you, when you're pronounced dead, are you still really dead? And they go through the long tunnel, you know, all that kind of stuff. And they come back. I have not met anybody who has actually had a story that has been dead for more than 4 or 5 days. All those stories come from people that are only dead for a few hours. I even met one person who said he was dead for like 12 hours, pronounced dead. Now, if you're dead, if they pronounce you dead, maybe some doctors can help me here. What does that mean? Does that mean nothing moves and everything's motionless? There's no blood, you're not breathing? How long can a body kick around after you're dead? You follow what I'm saying? You know, if you think about it carefully, if these people actually come back, were they ever really dead? And this is why they have these stories. Because if you were really dead, like Lazarus, for 4 days, and you already started smelling, I mean, that's really dead. And he didn't have any story to tell. Or at least he didn't write about it. Nobody wrote about it. So, I mean, when you're looking at some of these near-death experiences, you've got to look and say, now, if they were dead for 15 days and they came back, that would be a little more legit. But if it's only for an hour, only for a couple hours, you can see maybe they really were not dead, or else they would not be back. So when we die, we don't go to heaven or hell or purgatory. We go to sleep until Jesus wakes us up, and I am looking forward to that day. How many want to see that day come when Jesus comes to wake? Now, I'm not dead yet, so I'm looking forward to the change rather than the death part, but death doesn't bother me. I just don't like the dying part. But being dead isn't a problem because I know from the scriptures it doesn't hurt. I don't know what's happening. As a matter of fact, I won't even know. The second I die, I'll be waking up. And you know, Let's look at what the Bible says on this, because this is the part I like the most. And I'm sorry about the speaker for some of you, but 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend." Jesus is coming down, not with the saints. He's coming down with the angels. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise." See, they're coming up. Jesus is coming down, the dead in Christ rise, they're going up. And they're going to do what? They're going to meet him in the air. Let's find out. It says, "Then we who are alive and remain, once we've been changed, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." So we're on this earth, the dead are in their graves, and Jesus resurrects them, and then we're all, well, they're changed when they come up, and then we're changed, and then we go up to meet the Lord in the air. And then it says, "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." That means we weren't with the Lord before that. You know, so the Bible is really clear. All you have to do is just read it. It makes perfect sense. It's the second coming, and Jesus is coming with what? Lots of angels. Lots of angels. Now, I always like to end with my response here. It says, "The message was clear to me." Hopefully it is. Hopefully it is, because this is going to be one of the most deceptive things in the last days. It's already getting there, where people are going to get all sorts of messages. I mean, I meet people who have stories, and they say, "I know what's happening in heaven because Uncle Joe told me. I know what the Bible teaches because Aunt Sue, who came and visited me last night, told me what the Bible teaches, what it really teaches." So you got to be careful. It's going to be a lot of that. B, "I realize I have eternal life only if I have Jesus." That's the only way you get eternal life. It's not natural. When he comes, you get eternal life. You have eternal life now, spiritual eternal life, but you get physical eternal life when Jesus comes and gives you immortality. "The idea that the dead are asleep is new to me." For some of you, this might be something you haven't heard before. I would suggest you go home and open the scriptures and take a look. See what it says. "Please pray that I will be faithful to Jesus until he gives me eternal life at his second coming." Now, I always have fun with the questions. "Since the dead are unconscious and can't be contacted, all contact with the dead is really contact with who?" Satan. You meet with people who believe that they've met with their uncle, and you tell them who it really is, it gets them totally ticked off. He said, "What? That's my uncle. That's not Satan." Then you read a few texts and I know what the Bible says, but I don't care what the Bible says. That's my uncle. And once they start doubting just a little bit, Uncle Joe doesn't come to visit anymore for some reason. For those kind of deceptions to happen well, you have to be a total believer. Once you start doubting, the devil can't use that. That's why Adventists don't have their relatives come to visit very often after they're dead. Because we look and say, "Yeah, you look like Uncle Joe, but I know who you are. I've read what the book says." Doesn't work very well. The devil uses other things to get at our goat, unfortunately. Number two, list two ingredients of a soul. So there's not much to us, huh? Just dust and breath. Three, how much do dead people know? Even if they've gone to university? How about those that got like 3 degrees? When they're dead, how much do they know? When they're resurrected, how much do they know? Everything they know plus. So we don't start with a clean slate. God brings us back just the way we were. That's why it's important that you spend your days learning about things that will be a benefit and not a curse. Four, where do people go when they die? To the grave. Now, what if you're eaten by sharks? Then you might be on the East Coast and the West Coast simultaneously. All over the place. Does it matter where your body is when Jesus comes? Does he use the old skeleton? He doesn't even need your old body, does he? I wouldn't want him to use my old body. It's like, you know, get rid of the old stuff. I want brand new. I don't want a repo, you know. So it doesn't matter where you go. It matters where Jesus is when he comes the second time. 5, when does Jesus give immortality to those who are saved? At the second coming. How many are looking forward to the second coming? Why don't you stand? Those who are looking forward to the second coming and want to be with Jesus, want to be changed. I'd like to see him come so none of us have to come out of the grave, but all of us could be changed. But if that's not the case, I'd still like to be there, even if I have to come out of the grave. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the promise that you've given us. We thank you for the privilege of understanding what your word teaches about those that have died. Please give us wisdom. Help us to understand the truth on this. Not only understand this truth, but understand why this is so important, why you have designed it this way. It wasn't your original design. Death was definitely not your original design. We thank you, Lord, that when we get to heaven, there'll be no more death, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more hospitals, no more crutches, none of the stuff that we have to live with day in and day out here. Lord, that was your original plan, and we just thank you for your original plan. May your original plan happen in us. May we be changed. May you give each one of us immortality. We just thank you for the hope that one day we can trade this body in for a brand new one without any flaws, without any problems, and it will last forever. We just thank you for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.